on today's Run to the Top podcast.
How I like to create the workouts just so they're super efficient. They usually are full body, although if you'd rather do a total lower body focus one, that's also very doable, or add things like sprints in these workouts because, like I said, it makes it super time efficient.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Hi, this is Stephanie Atwood with Run to the Top. Are you, like so many of us, trying to figure out how to add strength training to your running regimen? Today's episode features Krista Stryker, who shares her strength training techniques as the 12-minute athlete. Good, quick, high-intensity interval training is Krista's specialty, and most of our workouts are done outdoors. I love the combination of minimal time and an outdoor environment. Runners Connect also has strength training resources and a free 4-part video course. You'll learn which strength training exercises are going to be most effective to reduce injuries and improve performance so you don't waste your time. You need to understand how to balance the additional strength work with your current mileage so you don't overtrain. Check out our free strength training video course at runnersconnect.net/strong. This 4-part video course will help you learn how to add strength training to your running training the right way to avoid injury and improve performance. Plus, you'll learn how to avoid the 5 most common mistakes runners make when adding strength work to their running plan. This free course is available at runnersconnect.net/strong. And be sure to continue listening to today's episode with Krista Stryker, the awesome 12-minute athlete who shares focused strength training education through high-intensity interval training. Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier coach and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's episode, we are interviewing Krista Stryker, the 12-minute athlete. I have been following Krista for several years because of the way she offers bodyweight resistance outdoors is totally into the way that I like to do things. And so I've been following her. And I mean, this woman is amazing. She looks terrific. And it does seem like, I'm sure sometimes you spend more than 12 minutes at it, Krista. But in summary, you really like these shorter, more intensive HIIT type of workouts. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being here. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I think we finally worked out the details. And we all know that strength and resistance work should be a regular part of runner's training. And of course, Krista is not specifically into training for running. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit, Krista. But strength and flexibility are incredibly important for anybody who wants to be active. And you look so amazing. I mean, I'm just so impressed both with the kinds of things that you can do. And then having read your wonderful article called I'm Not Perfect and Neither Should You Be, it really describes how you discovered HIIT and it literally saved your life. So thank you so much for being here today. And thank you for finally coordinating with me on this.
Course.
It's been a bit of a challenge. So let's confirm the first basic questions that I ask everybody on the podcast. Sure. How old are you now? Where were you born? What town or city do you currently live in? And do you ever compete, or is looking and feeling good enough of a reward in itself?
Okay, caught the first two questions, so I'm going to go ahead and answer those, but the last one cut out. So I am now 31 years old, and mm-hmm. I grew up in a very small town outside of Portland, Oregon, called Camas, Washington. It's a small little mill town, and I got out of there as soon as I could.
And where are you living now?
I now live in Venice Beach in LA.
And you like it?
It's great. It's such a great outdoor fitness community here. And I just walk and bike everywhere. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And quite a bit different from Camas,
well,
I'm sure.
Sure.
So let's start off with your early exposure to fitness, because I know in this, it was really an incredible article. I really appreciated reading about you in I'm Not Perfect and Neither Should You Be, because it addresses a lot of the issues for a lot of us in terms of, you know, how we see ourselves, our bodies, our comparison with other people, growing up and going through that whole youth part of our lives and trying to figure out what we want to do when we grow up.
Right.
So talk about that a little bit, kind of as it relates to that wonderful article that you wrote.
Sure. So growing up, I always kind of played team sports. I had a pretty athletic family, so I was just naturally encouraged to do sports like soccer and basketball. But in the town I grew up in, there weren't a ton of opportunities for other things. So I was just kind of stuck in these team sports that I didn't really love, I didn't feel any passion for, and I didn't feel like I was particularly good at, even though I would have coaches tell me that, you know, I had aptitude for the sports, but I just never felt like, I felt like kind of like the athletic gene skipped me. Like I said, my dad is incredibly athletic. My older brother was like a high school basketball star, but I just never felt that I really fit in with the athletic community and never really found my thing when I was growing up. So I went off to college and I went to photography school, art school, and just absolutely stopped doing anything fitness related. I stopped moving at all, and I definitely gained the freshman 15. I ate just pretty much crap, like did not know how to eat. Although looking back, I am pretty proud of myself. Even though I would eat like boxed mac and cheese every day, I would still make a bowl full of broccoli somehow. So
yeah,
there was something going for me there. But I pretty much, I felt incredibly weak. I felt very unfit. That lack of confidence in, you know, health and fitness really, really translated to the rest of my life as well. And I felt like super unclear about what I wanted to do with my life and not very confident in general, just very lost. So it just kind of happened that my big brother, who I've always looked up to, challenged me one day to do a push-up. And honestly, growing up, I never could do a push-up. I couldn't do a pull-up. I couldn't do anything like that was really strength-based. And I did three of maybe the worst push-ups that anyone has ever seen, but I didn't know they were bad. I was so excited. I was just like, oh my gosh, if I can do these three push-ups, I can do anything. And it just kind of planted that seed in me that like, maybe I actually want to work for this, even though it doesn't come naturally to me. And it's been a very long journey since those first push-ups, but I've learned a lot, and it's been awesome. And I'm happy to say I can do more than three push-ups now, and they're better.
You, the 12-minute athlete, that concept is really great. I love it. And what started you in that HIIT thing? I know you've tried lots of different things because you're an adventurer in that way. You want to try different things. But what got you interested in HIIT? High intensity interval training, right?
So from those first push-ups, I eventually became a personal trainer, and that's great. Except for at that time, I really felt like I had to do all of my workouts in a gym, do kind of the traditional like strength training and then, you know, basic cardio workouts. I was spending so much time doing them, and it was also really boring. So I got sick of it at one point, and I was living in New York at the time, and it was the middle of winter, and so there was like no getting out. And so I started experimenting with workouts I could do just in my apartment with very little equipment. And all of a sudden, My workouts were getting shorter. They were much more intense, but they became much more effective. I was getting stronger and spending way less time actually working out. And
so nice.
Then I started, it was great. And like I said, it was the middle of winter. There was like no getting outside. But I was sick of just being in a gym all day long. So right. I started experimenting with these workouts myself and then started having my clients doing them. And it just went from there.
And this is one of the things I noticed about you, which attracted me to actually, sign up for your 12-minute athlete information, because you do almost everything outdoors.
I really like to be outside.
Me too. I love it. And I know you were in San Francisco for a while because I recognized a lot of those pictures. So talk about that. How is it that the outdoors... Maybe for people who don't think about it, how is it that they can use the outdoors to do a lot of the kinds of things that really will make them strong and resilient and give them the kinds of things that, in our case, in this podcast case, these are runners who are trying to add that flexibility and strength, but a lot of them get bored in the gym as well.
Right. Well, I mean, just think about it, the difference when you're running on a treadmill versus running outside. Outside, it offers so many more challenges, right? There's little bumps, there's hills, there's different scenery, you're breathing in different air. And those are the same things you're going to feel when you're doing, more of a strength or HIIT training workout outside. One of the things I like to encourage people to do is kind of just use what's around them as equipment. So if you're in a park, those park benches everywhere or picnic tables, like those are perfect things for all sorts of lower body exercises, like step ups or even, box jumps, as long as it's sturdy and you're not going to fall over things
right.
So many parks these days have like a pull-up bar or parallel bars, which are amazing fitness tools, for things like pull-ups, core workouts, even just to hang from those is really great. So that's what I like people to do, is to really get creative and kind of just have fun with it. It's just so much more interesting being outside than just being in a little stuffy gym.
I totally agree. And I also know that you are really into going places without a car. Riding a bike, walking, and you said you were a really fast walker. How fast can you walk? Like a couple of miles?
That's a funny question. I definitely always beat the Google Maps prediction of what it's going to be. I don't know. I think Google Maps says like two miles is maybe a half an hour, and I was a lot, maybe like 22 minutes for that or something.
Well, that sounds about right. An 11 or 12 minute mile is walking pretty darn fast.
Yeah.
And if you can do that sort of consistently, then you're doing good. And are you usually at the front of the pack if you're with other people who are walking?
Yeah,
I bet
sure.
You are.
It's always a struggle with groups, because I kind of forget at first, and then I realize, no one else can keep up with me. And then, I feel like I'm walking like in water, like slow motion. I try to be understanding.
Now talk about 12-minute athlete, because it's online and I don't really know, too much more of the details than that. You do put out something at least weekly, maybe daily. I don't remember that, but talk about the structure of 12-minute athlete and how people might be able to use that.
Sure. We are an online fitness business, and we have so many different ways that we get information out there. So one of them is our blog, which then if you are signed up to the newsletter, then you'll just get notifications of new posts there. We also have at least 3, if not more, new workouts each week that are totally free on the blog. Mm-hmm. Because I want people to have no excuse not to get a good workout in. So other than that, we have a couple of signature workout programs. We just released a new 90-day program called Fitter, Faster, Stronger, and have a pretty awesome community around that. And we also have both iPhone and Android apps that you can download with tons and tons of workouts. So yeah, those are the basic mediums that we go through.
Yeah. And you have a lot of pictures with things, don't you? You offer a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I try to help people visualize things and also offer some inspiration at times.
I remember one that I actually talked to my group about, because most people are not as fit and as flexible and as strong as you are, Krista. And you were trying to teach us how to do that Russian dancing type of movement, you know?
What is a Russian dancing movement?
It's where you get down on your haunches so that your butt is almost touching the ground, like a squat, except then you kick your legs out.
Okay. Okay. I know what you're saying.
What do you call that?
Like a ninja jump, I think. I think that's what you're talking about. Everything has different, all exercises have like a million names, by the way. So there's just perfect one name for everything.
Yes. I believe that. This is like that Cossack dancing. So what you did is you went through different stages of basically doing a squat and then just getting lower and lower with that squat and figuring out how to make that happen so that eventually you're doing like a one-legged squat with kicking your leg out, not just, you know, one-legged squat, but actually kicking your leg out at the end of it.
Yeah, that one's a great.
Does that make more sense?
Yeah, I think actually what we're talking about is it's a pistol squat variation where you're using a little bit of momentum.
Okay, it could be. It was a while ago, but I was so impressed because just getting down that far for a lot of us is not.
Totally. I mean, it takes. There's so many pieces to it. You know, flexibility, balance, strength, just muscle, like your muscle brain connection. So yeah, it's not an easy thing that everyone should be able to do, but you can work towards it. There's always ways to work towards things.
And that seems to me like that's part of what you offer, both in how you've approached athletics and then also in what you offer people who want to follow you, is that, you know, you weren't doing this stuff right off the bat.
Exactly. It took me a long time for a lot of these things of trial and error.
And did you do you ever compete in any way with this stuff, or is this just things that you enjoy doing and that you also want to share with others?
I haven't done a lot of competing. I did a sprint triathlon a few years ago. That was fun. Did okay on that. I have, you know, tons and tons of my own personal goals, including I've been boxing a lot and would like to do some amateur boxing fights, which is
okay,
fun.
Okay, good.
And cool. Yeah. I also, you know, if you do follow me on social media, will probably notice that I do a lot of handstands, which I never ever could do before. And I would like, my dream is to be in both competing in boxing and also in some form of circus show doing hand balancing at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're strong. You're fit. There have to be a lot of pieces coming together. I saw a picture of you in the middle of a road that it was either staged or at least people were watching that, you know, the car wouldn't come around and hit you, but you were doing I think it was a one arm handstand in the middle of the road.
Yeah. I can't, you know that one? I can't do a legit one arm handstand without, falling yet, but I'm working on it and I have full confidence that I will be able to.
Good for you, Ellen. I'll keep my fingers crossed. I'm sure you're gonna get there because you are determined. Yeah. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Nutrition is one, but I also wanted to talk about another part of your, what was it, 37 points or 39 points. You talked about how at a relatively early age, maybe it was in high school, where you were put on the C team and knew that you were capable of doing the A team, but maybe needed a little more time to develop the specific skills for, I think it was volleyball.
Yeah, it was volleyball.
Could you talk about that a bit?
For sure.
Because of the, you know, the way people get put into categories at some point in their life, and like a lot of people never get out of it.
It's so true. So this was actually seventh grade. I'm impressed that you remember this fact. Seventh grade, and I had literally never touched a volleyball. Maybe I'd touched a volleyball, but I'd never ever played volleyball. No one had taught me anything, but I've been 5'9" and fairly lanky since I was in maybe fifth grade. So you would think that the coaches would look at my body type and think that, you know, maybe she doesn't know the techniques yet, but she could learn. And I went for a tryout and learned that I had been put on the C team, which was the lowest team. And I immediately quit because I was like, well, I don't want to be on the lame loser team, which is not a great attitude. I wish I'd had a different attitude, but I'd also wished that I'd had people around me encourage me and tell me and show me that with hard work that I could improve. Because at that time in my life, I really felt like if I wasn't immediately good at something, I would never become good at it. And that really put me in this, like you said, this box where I was just stuck there, and it really limited what I did and new activities that I tried. So I really, really try to tell people now that no matter where you're starting from, you can get better. And it's
totally,
it's sometimes it's hard to hear that and understand that at first, but if you do kind of internalize that, it makes such a huge difference. And there's always ways to improve and progress at things, no matter where you're coming from.
I'm totally in concurrence with you on that. And I also was interviewing a fellow earlier today. We were talking about coaching. I think there are times when you're in this transition where you at least have the willpower to say, I'm going to continue with this thing. That also maybe talking with a coach and getting some, you know, some input into how specifically to improve to be able to do it better. I'm guessing you're much more attuned to that at this point in your life than, of course, when you would have been in seventh grade. You're in a different position.
Thankfully, I am. That's definitely an important point that if you do something, I mean, for example, back to handstands, when I first decided I wanted to do a handstand, I had no coaching and no idea how to work on them. So I was basically just flailing around and not making any progress because I didn't have any direction. So the second that I started working with a coach who was experienced and really taught me the correct techniques to focus on, my progress skyrocketed. So it's very important, no matter what you're working on, to have some direction from someone who's more experienced, like a coach, so that you're not just wasting your time.
I think that's such great advice. And it's also, if you want to try something and you've got the determination that you're going to see how far you can get with it, then being able to carry that, you know, that feeling inside of you that I'm going to really try this. And yet then also getting a coach in there who can help you start from where you are and also can help you if they say, this is going to be tough for you. Maybe there is something else that would, you know, would fill that gap for you or would give you more self-confidence or even just more ability to strive higher.
Well, the other thing that coaches can help with is, especially if you're just starting something fairly new, it may be hard for you to tell if you're making progress. Whereas who's more experienced is going to see huge things that you're doing better, so much progress, even if you don't feel it yet. And the better that you get at something, the more that you will notice your own progress. But I think that's huge for especially those first, few weeks, few months, whatever it is that you're working on, to stay motivated. Coaches are really helpful for that.
So I still want to talk to you about nutrition, but I also want you to go through maybe a progression of a 12-minute workout that would be a really good one for runners who need to have, they need to have the flexibility, the strength to be better runners. So do you have some suggested workouts that would help that specific group of people?
For sure. For runners specifically, you know, you're going to want to focus a lot on both lower body strengthening exercises as well as interval like cardio workouts. So a few things that I definitely would suggest would be sprints. If you're a long distance runner, sprints are so helpful in so many ways, building more speed, endurance, everything. Plus, if you do a few sprint based workouts a week instead of always doing longer runs, you're going to have less wear and tear in your body, and it's just going to help you avoid overtraining. So sprint workouts for sure.
Now, what kind of strength would you do for that? What kind of either weight training, resistance training to be better at those speed workouts that are essential for runners? But we are trying to encourage runners to get more into some of these other types of cross training rather than thinking that every day they're going to be out there, you know, especially running long distances. But even with speed workouts, you've got to limit that to 1 or 2 days a week. So how do you add in some, maybe some strength and flexibility type of workouts?
So in addition, non-running. So, in addition to those, I would definitely recommend a couple of times a week doing, it doesn't have to be with weights at all. So any form of squats, lunges, any lower body things like that. So the way to get started with those would just to be start with simple body weight squats. And you'll be surprised if you do them correctly, which ideally you're going to work towards getting all the way down so that basically your butt touches the back of your calves. Those get tiring pretty quickly, and you really want to work on just having really good form with that, making sure that your knees don't go inward, squeezing your glutes on the way up, keeping your core tight. And those just, I mean, you can never go wrong with bodyweight squats. If you want to step it up from there, you can always do what I absolutely love, plyometric training, and that's going to really help with power and speed. So think, you know, jump squats. So it's the same thing. You're just squatting down and then jumping straight up as high as you can. Box jumps, you know, long jump training. That's an awesome one to do. So those are all variations of the basic squat. And then lunges, of course, are going to help work your body unilaterally, which is very important because we all have a stronger side of the body, and it's important to help get those sides more even. So any form of lunges, whether it's just in place to get started and make sure your form is good, walking lunges are awesome. You can do those either body weight, or you can, you know, grab your backpack and put some heavy stuff in it and walk around like that. If you want to get more into plyometric training again, jump lunges, I mean, I do those a few times a week without fail because they are just one of the best lower body exercises you can do. And then the other thing that you want to make sure to include is some lateral training. A lot of people just do basic squats and forward, backwards lunges, but don't go laterally at all. And that can cause weakness. And our bodies are made to move in all directions. So I'm a huge fan of any sort of side lunges. And those ones do require more flexibility to be able to go all the way down. So if you can only go part way down on a side lunge at first, that's totally fine. It still counts. You just want to work towards basically getting as far as you can towards the ground. So, yeah.
And can you get most of that enough good workout in 12 minutes or close to 12 minutes to
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so what I like about HIIT training is it just makes everything very efficient. So one of the standard workouts that I like to have people do would be an interval workout where, so you will need an interval timer. You can either get it on your phone, have a little actual external timer on your, a lot of people have smart watches now that have timers. So wherever you have that, but one of my favorite efficient workouts would be to set an interval timer, and you'll need to set it to 18 rounds. And then you would have a 10 second and 30 second interval where you're resting on the 10 seconds and then working really, really hard on the 30 second ones. And
can we do it the other way where we work out 10 seconds and take 30 seconds off?
Well, I'd want you to work more than 10 seconds. So if you need to set a slightly longer rest interval, that's fine. But just be aware that your overall time will go up on that. But that's not bad. So then what I like to do in my workouts like that is to kind of alternate. So for example, maybe you're starting out with a plyometric exercise like squat jumps, and that's super tiring on your legs. And then you have a slight rest, and then you rotate to another body part. So then maybe add in push-ups for the next one so that you're resting your legs and giving your heart rate a little bit of a break, but you're still working, which keeps it really efficient. And you know, throughout the workout. So then maybe the next one is jump lunges. And then you go to like plank jumps where you're in a plank position and just jumping your feet forward and back. So that's kind of like how I like to create the workouts, just so they're super efficient. They usually are full body, although if you'd rather do you know, a total lower body focus one, that's also very doable. Or, I mean, I will often add things like sprints or jump roping also in these workouts, just because, like I said, it makes it super, super time efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. The upper and lower body, I think for runners is an important part of an intense workout because, you know, otherwise runners are not going to get like all muscly just from doing this a couple times a week, but they're going to then develop a stronger upper body that can actually carry them through some of these longer runs with a lot more ability.
Plus, once you develop a little bit of that upper body strength, it can be pretty fun to be able to do some of these things. So it may not always directly translate to running exactly, but it will make you overall a better, stronger, more solid athlete.
And I think that's where running is going. I think that's the trend that running is moving in. You know, this whole trail running phase really has moved people into looking more at being adept at lots of different parts of their body in order to handle the terrain and the endurance and the distance with trail running, and not so much just absolute speed, which is really hard on a lot of people. You know, they just can't handle mile after mile on the pavement without getting injured.
Right.
Yeah. So with what you're doing, you're enhancing what runners could do by just adding in incredible strength stuff. And it's interesting too. That's the part I love about it.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about nutrition, because I know you eat healthy, but you also kind of give yourself as well as other people that are around you permission to, you know, have that glass of wine or eat that chocolate chip cookie and not feel guilty about it.
For sure. I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule, where you eat healthy 80 to 90% of the time, and then you give yourself a break the other 10 or 20%. I think it's huge that, I mean, unless you're training for a bodybuilding competition where you need the absolute lowest body fat percentage possible for a very short amount of time, why would you do that to yourself and not allow yourself any treats?
Life is too short.
Exactly. Enjoy it. What I like to try to get people to think about, though, is to make sure it's worth it. So stop eating like terrible store-bought cookies just mindlessly. And when you do have a treat, make sure you are fully enjoying it and appreciating every bite. And you won't have it that often then. I mean, every time I go home, my sister makes these homemade pies that are just amazing. Oh my gosh, they're so good. And I used to feel guilty, and I now don't even have the slightest bit of guilt, because I know I only have it, you know, a few times a year. You know, she makes it with good ingredients and a lot of love, and I enjoy every bite. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Don't just wolf down something mindlessly, but make sure that if it is something that's a little bit of an indulgence, that you really appreciate it and enjoy it.
I know we're getting close to the end of your time, and I wanted to ask you, because we always do a thing at the very end called the final kick, and we're going to adapt that a little bit to you, because you're not a runner. You've said that. In fact, I'm going to ask you about that part of it too. But you enjoy reading, or you said your favorite author is Haruki Murakami. And can you talk about what it is about his writing that you enjoy?
I've read, I think, all of his books. He's a Japanese writer, and so everything is translated. But I don't know, ever since I was a kid, I've really loved fiction, really good fiction, mm-hmm. and where I can kind of feel like I'm in another world. And his writing is just, it's so interesting. The character development is so good. It really just kind of makes you think about life in a different way. I highly recommend his book 1Q84 if you or your listeners haven't read it. I'm actually reading it for the third time right now.
Wow.
And I just love it.
I think I'm gonna try that, especially if it's fiction and you like it, because I love fiction. I read a lot of nonfiction. I guess most of us do, but that sounds like it's worth getting into. So thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah, I always read at least one fiction and nonfiction book at once, because I like the contrast.
Yeah, me too. I'm totally there with you. Okay, now you do not like running, and that's okay. We talked about this ahead of time, because I think what you're doing is so great, because you found something that you're passionate about. And that's, you know, that's really what this whole fitness thing is about, is it's finding something that you can commit to, any of us can commit to on a regular basis, and really feel like it can change our life, and so we can stay with it for the rest of our life.
Exactly.
So how do you work or get around running? I mean, it's like everybody wants to have people run for part of their workout. So do you just walk or ride a bike, or do you just work so intensely during your 12 minutes, you know, or whatever amount of time you spend during the day that you don't see the warm up or the cool down or anything is necessary for running or to have to run?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You know, there's always ways around things. And I fully understand why some people absolutely love to run. I just have never liked running long distances. I mm-hmm. do run sprints, mm-hmm. fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great. I love sprints. So
good.
It's just always been the longer runs that, I don't know, there's always been something like, I like to be efficient, and I just never could get into that running zone that I know a lot of people get. So don't need to run if you don't enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, awesome. By all means, do it. I have so many people who do the 12 athlete workouts also run because they like it. I just never want people to run because they were told that's the only thing they should be doing. That's what frustrates me. But ways to get around it. Yeah, I bike a lot. I walk a lot. And like we said earlier, I walk fairly fast. So that's fairly efficient. I'm also a huge fan of jump roping. So I usually do that as part of my warm up if I am not doing any form of sprinting.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there's always things you can do. I just, like you said, always just find something that you actually enjoy. And never, you should never feel like your workouts are torture all of the time. If they are, yeah, find something else.
That's the gift. That's totally the gift, is finding something that you can do, you know, finding something that you enjoy doing. And that also gives you that gift of fitness that you can think about having, being fit and well and happy with what you're doing for the rest of your life. I love that about you. Now, you are gymnastics, Muay Thai, kickboxing, and rock climbing. Those are your newest kind of things that you're delving into a bit more?
Yeah, I always try to have something that's new and challenging to me, because like everyone else, I also get bored, and I just think it's always good to have something that you're learning that's new and interesting, and they all feed each other, which is also an interesting experience.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're strong and lean and flexible, that rock climbing should be a lot of fun, because you sound like you're adventurous as well. I'm an old rock climber too, so really loved it. This has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time today to do this with us. And I would like you to both summarize any like word of wisdom or a little bit of humor or whatever that you'd like to share as parting words. And then we're going to have you give us your contact information, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. Well, I just, go back to that find something that you love. Even if you do, HIIT and strength training workouts, what I like to have people do is have them support their main love. So whatever that is, if it's surfing, if it's rock climbing, if it's ultimate frisbee, something that feels more like play. Working out, doing the strength training and some HIIT training, sprints, stuff like that, it's all going to help your main activities and sports. So
perfect.
Keep that in mind. It's much more motivating as well to work out that way. Yeah. Because you're doing it for a purpose. It's not just like, well, I want to lose a few pounds. I feel like that's way less motivating. So try to have fun with it. And yeah, it's like you said, this is kind of it's a lifelong journey. It's not just this, next 3 months I have to do this only and look so good or anything like that. It's like we're trying to build a lifelong habit and enjoy it along the way.
Yeah, have some fun in living and eat that piece of pie periodically.
Yes.
Krista, give us contact information and any kind of information that you would like for our readers or our listeners to be able to get in touch with you.
Sure. So everything is just 12-Minute Athlete, 1-2-Minute Athlete. So 12minuteathlete.com. You can find me on social media at 12-Minute Athlete. And if you do want to check out the app, just search for that in the App Store or Google Play Store and you'll find it. It's pretty easy to find. And if you do want to say hi to me over email, feel free. Just hello@12minuteathlete.com.
Cool. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We had some technology issues in the beginning, and I apologize for that, but this has been a great interview. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. As always, you can follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook or by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. to be notified every week when the new episode is published. Krista, thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's really been a pleasure to have you here. And our audience, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head on out to your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.